Welcome back to the podcast. This episode is going to be kind of a different format than all the other ones that I've recorded so far. It's going to be a debate between two guys that disagree on the subject of aliens, the government, and ghosts. So without further ado, we have Asher and Jake. I just wanted to ask to start this off. So you guys do not necessarily disagree on the subject of if aliens exist. You guys both think that there's no such thing as aliens whatsoever. I just wanted to ask you guys where you disagree seems to be if the government would hide aliens or not. You, Asher, believe that the government would not, and Jake, you believe that the government would hide aliens. I wanted to ask you first, Jake, why you believe the government would hide evidence of aliens' existence.
The government already hides things. There are hundreds of secret military bases like Area 51 that they refuse to tell what's in it. They refuse to tell anything. I don't believe there are aliens in it, but they still refuse to admit there's anything there in the first place. They refuse to say there is anything, whether or not there's something there. And the government's been hiding things since it was created. It's been hiding. It doesn't. I feel like it's either out of fear that how the people will react, or to prevent people from just prevent people from going crazy over it.
All right. You get your response, Asher. You get to explain why you think that the government wouldn't hide aliens.
Well, I don't know. I feel like if aliens were discovered, I feel like it'd be more of a global disaster, a global thing that would, impact every human being. So I feel like the government wouldn't hide that from people. I feel like they'd try to get people to work together. And, I feel like it depends on if the aliens are, a threat. You know what I mean?
A threat to humanity.
Yeah, because if it's just friendly aliens, then I could see them hiding it. But if it's a global threat, I feel like people would find out pretty quick.
To both of you guys that believe that there's no such thing as aliens, just wanted to ask, does this mean that since you guys do not believe in aliens, that every single account, every eyewitness, everybody that believes that they have had an experience with aliens are wrong?
Lunatics.
They're lunatics. I don't know what they saw. I can't really explain that, honestly.
Either they were just people standing on their lawn, they saw an airplane, and they thought, hey, that's weird. That's probably an alien. Or, maybe it's a new air, route that planes are flying, something like that. Or if they saw, oh, there's an alien that's came to me, and they abducted me and sucked out my brain juices. Those people are crazy.
Lunatics. Most likely.
I don't think they're crazy.
Lunatics.
I don't
know. Okay, if someone says, yeah, an alien came to my house, abducted me, and then they attacked me, would you believe them?
No.
What would you think of that person?
Odd.
Odd.
Yeah.
What if they truly believe this in their heart, that they were abducted by aliens?
Well, I think something would happen to them. I don't know what.
I'm going to play devil's advocate on that. Because the idea that there's been many, many thousands of accounts, many thousands of witnesses. This means that every single person had been hallucinating, their brain was playing tricks on them, or maybe they were fabricating a story. Do you think that that's possible for every single different account?
There are many different ways. It either could be substances like drugs or alcohol involved. Could be a lack of sleep causing that person to start seeing things. Could be a mental disease such as what's it called? Where you start seeing visions. What's that one disease where you start seeing visions and then you have to take pills to calm it down?
I don't.
Yeah, whatever.
Hang on. It's on the top of my tongue,
could
but
be,
I know what it is. I just don't know the name.
Yeah,
there is.
Could be.
I mean, there's such a large variety of people that say they've witnessed things. In Berkshire, Massachusetts, all those people. Children saw that. That's not drugs or disease.
Lack of sleep. Oh, yeah, there's also something that's been seen throughout history called mass hysteria, which has been known. People know what it is. It's been happening since, the beginning of time. There was one case where a group of people in a town just started dancing randomly, and they couldn't stop until some of them started dying from exhaustion. So it could be that. There are some people who believe they saw the sun was starting to fly around the sky. Everyone in town thought they saw the sun flying around the sky and changing colors. but it was only in that town they saw it. It's just a case of like mass hysteria, whether it's something that's happening with the
towns. It didn't affect everyone in those towns. Like, it was only a select few.
Could be like the case of like the water supply has been like contaminating something, causing people to like start seeing things, start going crazy.
Like from Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. They put something in the water, man,
diseases.
And everybody
there
was going
weird
crazy.
Diseases. Very weird diseases.
Everybody got scared.
I don't know how to explain this.
Then there's like that one person that only drinks like iced tea and they were fine the entire time. Like, why is everybody going crazy?
Yeah, there are like very like solid, you know, witnesses and stuff, especially like Berkshire, Massachusetts, all that.
Me. I'm just kidding. I thought I saw something once, but there's one thing you can
that
never.
One disease. Schizophrenia. That causes
right.
you to see things. That's what it is.
Yeah, but there's children that are seeing, like, having these witnesses.
Mass hysteria, still. Cases. No one knows. No one knows the real cause of mass hysteria.
No matter what, though, you're never going to change my mind that Nessie the Loch Ness Monster is a real thing and Bigfoot's real, too.
No.
All right. On to the next section of the debate. If the universe is infinite, this is a philosophical question.
Yeah.
If the universe is infinite, does that mean that we are still alone?
Yes, because life can be created by the universe. Life is too intricate to just be created by the universe spontaneously. Life is created by something, which would be a higher being, such as God. But there are definitely places in the universe that are similar to Earth and like their terrain and stuff and their livability and their like survivability. But I don't believe there is life there. Just a chance that that humans could survive there, other life could survive there.
You know,
but I don't think there is life.
Bible never confirms or denies that
yes.
there's other life.
Never confirms or denies.
You can't like say for certain that God didn't create other worlds, other planets. I mean, obviously I don't believe that he did, but we can't say for sure anything in the Bible.
You can't because it's never really mentioned.
In the Bible, ever.
And it's an interesting subject for sure. I haven't gone into depth on that, so I can't ask deeper questions. So we're just going to hop into the next segment. And that is the subject of ghosts. Now, this is the biggest topic that you two seem to have disagreements on. And it's not necessarily on the subject of if you guys individually believe that they do or do not exist. It's just based on the idea that the Bible doesn't confirm or deny it. Or maybe it does deny it. So I just want to ask either of you guys, do you believe that ghosts exist? Asher, you go first.
I believe that ghosts are demons. Like, I think all paranormal activity is that of a demon. You know, there's multiple cases in the Bible where, you know, it shows demons on earth, you know, a lot of different things. There's multiple cases, you know, in recent history of demons, you know, possessing mm-hmm. people and stuff. I think
right.
all paranormal activity is that of demons. As you know, like, as far as like haunted places go, like people with like places with like
mm-hmm.
negative energy and all that, I don't really think that's real. But I think what is there is what a demon, you know,
demon.
Yeah.
And the interesting, to add to what you said, I'm not confirming or denying this, but you're going based off of biblical knowledge, and it says that demons, as you're saying, ghosts are supposed to look like humans because they are supposedly humans. Same with demons. They're supposed to look like humans as well.
Right.
And angels are opposite. So that I think that you would be able to make that. You would be able to make that statement. Jake.
Like, okay. So I believe many cases like paranormal activity is that of like the many like the ghost adventures and stuff like that are fake, and they just make it up for like money and views and stuff. But I believe some of those cases of like people saying like, "Oh, I was possessed by something." I believe that there is a chance it's demons. I don't believe demons can wander Earth though. Like people say, ghosts do. Do they just wander? Because in the Bible it says that demons lose their power to like wander Earth. They can only inhabit something. So I don't believe that.
Where?
Jesus says that the demons lose their
reference?
Power. Do you have a reference?
Hold on, they're going to pull up a reference. But that's just a monologue on what they're saying. I think a lot of, and you guys could make the reference to in the Bible when Jesus encounters a possessed man and the demon has no power around him.
Right.
So you could almost say that a demon in the presence of something holy doesn't have power as well. So if maybe, so to say this, if there's a Catholic community, say, where you used to live, would it have better time traveling? Would it have better, would it travel easier if it was maybe in Las Vegas than in your old complex?
Yeah, and, you know, speaking from, like, my background, too, like, I've never experienced a demon or anything, but, you know, from the mission field, there's tons of different stories about, you know, demons possessing villages, witchcraft, all that stuff. You know, witchcraft is dealing with demons, and that's what that, you know, very extreme problem is, but that's exactly what that is, all that satanic stuff. It does deal with real demons, and that is a very serious problem in many parts of, like, rural Africa, so.
Still pulling up that Bible verse?
He's not, though, because he doesn't...
We'll continue our discussion. So you think that they have the ability to roam, but they will lose their power?
I think, I don't think they can go wherever they want. I think that they are, like, confined, like, you know, their proximate area. But I do think demons can be summoned. You know, I think all that satanic stuff is very real. As to where demons come from, you know, obviously, I don't.
My old Catholic priest once said, some boy asked him if he was able to buy a Ouija board. And he asked him about the Ouija board, and he said that, and I don't know if this is 100% true because I wasn't there. This is an account of somebody I know, that you'll go to hell if you use a Ouija board. Now, that's false, because it's not unforgivable, but maybe it could be seen as sin to mess with the spirits.
Well, it is... But in the Bible, it does state that it is a sin to consult mediums, which are those who talk to spirits. So I believe that the Ouija board is like a medium. So it would be a sin, yes.
But the unforgivable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's for those, and that would be direct blasphemy. You do not feel guilty afterwards. You're mostly done by atheists. And then you just won't ever be able to get the presence. It's a very sad situation, but it doesn't. But all the other sins around are definitely forgivable for sure.
Well, I think every sin is forgivable. I mean, there really aren't any sins that can't be forgiven.
There's an unforgiven sin in the Bible.
Really?
Yeah, it's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a long story about it, and it's almost like you don't even want to mention it.
As to, like, what, you know, all that, like, Ouija boards and, like, those weird, like, kinetic boxes that pick up frequencies and all that stuff, I don't know the legitimacy of what that stuff is and what that is. Like,
I have no idea what it is.
I don't think that a demon would just mess around with kids. Like, I don't know what Ouija boards are, really.
It's a bad idea. It's all a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you gotta wonder why. Say there's places in the United States that are houses, they have bad backstories that's usually known by a lot of people around. And it's almost as if there's negative energy in that house, but why is it confined to just that house?
Yeah.
Why is it there? Why won't it leave? Because it can't leave. Like he said, maybe it's because they're confined to objects.
Yeah, and as like if demons are like spawned by, you know, terrible events, like that's another theory.
It has nothing to do with
demons,
biblical knowledge.
Yeah, the demons. But demons in the Bible are stated to be Satan's. Like when Satan was cast out of heaven, he and his angels were thrown out with him, and they became demons.
Thousands of them.
Yeah, the angels of Satan, which became demons.
Yeah.
So.
Right, and they took a new form, and they came down to earth. There's also another... legend, and you guys, so by the sounds of it, you both believe in the supernatural in terms of demons being on earth. So I was wondering, I bet you guys both have probably heard of the Annabelle doll. It's a real thing, not just confined to the cinematic universe in the movies. There's a real doll. They have to have Catholic priests move it. They always make it like a religious ceremony beforehand, and it's almost as if the doll itself is possessed. Do you believe that it is entirely possible without jumping on the conclusion whether or not that specific doll is possessed or isn't?
I believe it's not like possession, but rather like evil connotations. Like that, the fact that it is like a symbol of like it is a symbol of possession and demons that causes all this religious stuff to be needed. Not the fact that it is in itself something that is possessed.
So you say that it's a symbol.
Yeah, it's more of a symbol than anything else.
That's a weird way to look at it. So you believe that the negativity can come from the symbol being negative?
I feel like it's the symbol of like the fact that it is supposed to be supposedly like a possessed demon doll. Not the fact that whether it is or isn't actually like a demon.
That's weird because I remember in fourth grade, remember when we had those dices?
Mm-hmm.
We would roll them and something bad would happen. Because I literally came to school with them and I said, these are bad luck. Every time we would roll it, something bad would happen. That day that we had them at school, got in trouble. I rolled my ankle. A fire drill happened. Lost one.
I don't remember.
And I spilled coffee I spilled hot coffee on myself.
I remember that.
All in the same day.
I still have one of those dice in my house. I actually roll it and nothing bad really happens, though, sometimes. I feel like it's, I don't know.
It was maybe, just all that one day. It was weird.
Yeah, I feel like it's maybe like, I feel like it's the fact that you believe that it's bad luck and it's evil and all that stuff that causes all this stuff to happen.
So you believe that. I don't know what it's specifically called, but there's sort of an effect where if you believe something to be true, and if enough people believe it, then it can come true, and if enough people do not believe it's true, then it will fade out of existence. So people who really put their faith in that idea can find themselves to believing that everything and anything can exist with enough people believing it, especially God, which is a weird way to look at it.
That's where, like, if enough people believe in it, that's where all this stuff, like, possessed dolls that you were saying comes from. That people believe it is a possessed doll.
So then all of a sudden they're seeing
that
stuff.
And all of a sudden it is, like, a symbol of demons and evil and all this stuff. And then so many people believe that it's possessed and there's demons and stuff that it is necessary for there to be, like, religious stuff involved in it in order to prevent, like, chaos and panic.
To your view.
You know, I do think that symbols hold a lot of power, you know, like
the symbols in the Bible and the Old Testament of, like, Baal and all the other gods that the Jewish people would, like, betray God and start, like, believing in, and then God's anger would go against them. I believe they do have a slight amount of power because they are believed in, and they are a symbol of something, but they have nothing compared to the power of God.
The golden calf that was carried around. And worship. I don't know how they were able to get the gold for that, but they probably had it on hand. And I don't know if it carried any power, but it did in a sense that it gave them, they gave up hope, but it maybe made them motivated to something else. And that's to say that there was also another idol in the Bible where one man was testing another man's God, testing the real God. And they said that it would bring fire down from heaven, and they did dances around it. Nothing happened.
I'm trying to remember the priest. I remember what it was. It was like the last priest left that, because all the others had been killed by these other believers and like a different god. Because like the people of Israel had betrayed God, and they killed all priests, but this one fled. I think it was, I can't remember. But I read that, he's like, you can do whatever, like, rituals you want, and whoever's God responds is the true God, and they did all this stuff and nothing happened. But even in the middle of the rain, the bush that was, like, dedicated to God set fire and didn't go out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's to say that the idea is that when you hold that belief to your heart, you could almost give birth to any idea. And it's sad to say that people could probably use that logic to believe that God isn't real. And it's in simple philosophy, and I believe that atheism is sort of the reason that they use is a way of ditching normal philosophy and avoiding it. Because real philosophy is able to prove the existence of God in a simple sentence.
I found that one Bible verse about, like, Elijah. It's Elijah versus the prophets of Baal. Right? That it was like that at this time, Israel had been like taken over by the followers of Baal. And the king of Israel at this time believed that Baal was the true God and had all of the other prophets of God murdered. But Elijah escaped and hid. And then God had him brought back to Israel. God like led him back to Israel. And Elijah challenged the followers of Baal and said, all right, bring out as many prophets as you want. And you can do as many rituals as you want around this like fire. And if it catches fire, I will believe that Baal is the true God. But if this like thing here that I have catches fire, and it was like the middle of a rainstorm, then the Lord is the true God. And these prophets, none of them could do anything. And then Elijah set fire instantly, like by just a simple prayer.
Right. And you said that all the other priests had previously been killed. That's to say that God will test his people. And he'll test them, but whether or not you pass the test, it's the testament to whether or not you go through actual real trials and tribulations. So if you think about it, the ones that are punished are usually the ones that claim, as with the non-believers, are the ones that also claim to follow God, but do not actually go and abide by his teachings or do what he asks. It's like how Noah was able. I'm pretty sure there are people that say they believed in God during the times of Noah, when the Nephilim were on Earth. But Noah was the only one that was a real true Christian and wasn't lukewarm. And he probably had gone through many trials just living in the society at the time. But in the end, God protected him and saved him, which is where a lot of the idea for pre-tribulation rapture comes from.
That was a nice transition.
Ha. But, I mean, you can say whatever you want on the subject, but I think in the end, God doesn't have his people go through the same trial and pain as the others, as his promise is to end all suffering and all pain in the end.
Yeah.
So your view is that there is a post-tribulation rapture. I'd like to hear why you say.
You know, the idea of rapture and, like, tribulation, it's all very murky, you know. It's not, nothing's clear.
Nothing is clear.
The whole book of Revelation is basically just, like, a riddle. Like,
it is.
It is not clear at all. It's very, you know, like, symbolic, and there's a lot of different representations and different ideas, and it's really hard to understand.
It's the best book in the Bible, though.
I would agree. It's a very interesting
book. Very interesting because you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know.
It's the only part of the Bible
who's affected.
Happened.
See, that's the real mystery about it. And, you know, to a certain extent, people and scholars have garnered the ability to be able to predict what's going to happen. They know what certain things mean, but a lot of the rest does remain a mystery. We do not know what's going to happen in terms of the rapture, but we do know what has to happen before God comes back, because he said he will.
Right.
We don't know necessarily when that is in 7 years, but we know it's 7 years.
Well, 7 years tribulation, not in 7 years.
Right. Could be 3.5,
could
0.
Be 100 years. Could be
3.5, 7. And at the same time, we do know what needs to happen before anything happens.
And we're getting close, too, I think.
But the problem is there are so many isolated parts of the world, it's difficult.
How many years?
For me?
I give it like 50.
I give it
more.
I give it maybe at least 10.
I
give
it
at least
50
10.
At the minimum. Yeah, I give 50 at the minimum, though.
50 minimum?
At max,
yeah.
At max, things could really just get better, and we could go. But if we stay on this track, 10 years seems very, very realistic.
I don't know.
Well,
there's a lot of people that haven't heard it yet. There's
And there are so many parts of the world that are so isolated that I feel like North Korea, I feel like before people of North Korea even get the chance, there'd have to be like a war that would liberate the North Korean people in order for them to get the chance to hear
wars and rumors of wars.
I think it'll almost certainly happen before the end of this century.
Most likely. Because technology is going to give, say
yeah.
You were 200 years ago, the Mark of the Beast was supposed to be a stamp. Now you look at what they're trying to do with technology. It seems very, very possible. And they say on the news that it is inevitable that one day you will have a chip inside of you that's for purchases.
Right.
You are not allowed to buy, sell anything, or even live without the mark.
Right.
So when it gets to the when it gets to that time, it's not going to seem out of the picture right now, as of course, it doesn't seem out of the picture for that to end up happening. Mm-hmm. Cashless society, and if you look at what's happening, an economic collapse would actually have to lead the world to need to have a single currency, because the global market is going to it's inevitable that it will crash. If you look at the way we're spending right now, if you look at the amount of money we're spending and the rate, then a crash can occur and it will degrade the value of the American dollar and maybe even the world's market, because we are the reserve for the world's money. And if that falls, then a support falls. America, the American dollar is the backup for the world's money.
But like you guys are saying, like it might happen it's probably going to happen like this century. I feel like people have been saying, could be like saying that hundreds of years, like 100 years ago, in like the roaring 20s, people could have been saying like, oh, the economy is booming, everything's expanding, the rapture is going to happen soon because everyone's going to have a chance soon.
No,
because... But like anything, we have no clue what's going to happen in the next like 100 years or so. We have like no room to say when it will be.
Well,
because it's been predicted like hundreds of times in the past when it will be. And every time those things have passed and nothing's happened.
The Bible very quickly describes what life is going to be like before the rapture starts. And we are getting there. Like,
very bad.
I'm not even exaggerating.
I feel like the moment the entire world looks like Las Vegas is the moment we are very close.
People are just progressively getting worse and worse.
And then that's when a society collapses. If that happens, it would have to happen to pretty much every strong country for them to collapse and almost become third world. For them to be able to be weaker than a one world government.
Yeah.
That like the United Nations, you couldn't see them being the actual future government, but it's very possible.
Yeah, and you know, we're just getting closer and closer to what, you know, describes. I don't know, I should probably find the verse that describes it exactly. But it's basically just like, you know, people are become arrogant, they become prideful, they are only concerned with themselves. You know, money is like the main focus of the entire earth, which is, you know,
we're getting very close.
Very close, yeah. And also there's like stuff about like Israel retaking temples and stuff. And yeah, so everything that's going on over there is gonna, you know, impact how when the rapture starts.
Yeah, and money is probably one of the biggest ones. And obviously, social media has gotten people to look at their image a lot more, and it's gotten them to almost put that in front of pretty much the people around them. They've forgotten about their close community, and it's because of something that doesn't actually exist. It doesn't actually exist. Like money, you cannot take anything that's in this life with you.
Right.
You cannot, whatever it is. You and your spirit are the only things that really last. And what you do in this life decides how you spend the next one. If you want to make this life easy in terms of finance, in terms of looks, then this life will be your best life. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a lot better than the next one. And the next life lasts forever.
Yeah. And this world just, it's become so, you know, earth-centered about like treasures that we gain here. And so many times in the Bible it says not to worry or care about what we earn here. You know, it's all about what happens afterwards. And, you know, like 90% of the world at this point is, you know, probably more than 90% is just the vast majority is, you know, Christian.
Yeah, at least they claim to be.
Yeah,
I mean,
another thing, you know, there's a lot of faith.
Lukewarm.
Yeah.
Well, sorry. Okay, well, the Bible is like the number one selling book of all time. And it has been for the past, like, 100 years because so many people are either reading it, have heard it and want to hear more, or already know about it and they just want, like, their own Bible, which means there are so many alt-Christians in the world or people who at least believe part of the Bible that they could, that there aren't already many Christians.
That's another thing, though. Like, there's a lot of Christians, but there's also, in that, there's a lot of denominations, you know? There's a lot of different kinds of Christians, and a lot of those different kinds of Christians wouldn't be considered, like, a true, you know, Christian. There's a lot of Christians that believe things that are not biblical. There's a lot of people that have added things that are not biblical. You know, there's just so many different denominations that really complicate it and really make you question, you know, if Christian is a Christian.
The Bible does not have a DLC.
Yeah.
Nope. If anything, it's the DLC is God's promise for what happens after. Whatever happens after the rapture, whatever happens after literally everything, after the 1,000 years of his kingdom on earth, after all of that, that's pretty much the DLC.
Yeah.
And, you know, back to what you were saying, money. I think that's probably the biggest subject. One's desire to have money is worse than one that does have money. Now, it's not a sin in its own to be very rich.
Right.
King David was very, very rich. Everybody has problems, but the idea that you're going to put money and you're going to put wanting to get rich ahead of literally everything else in your life, and it happens. That's happening more and more. It's leading you to maybe this life will be good. You're wanting this life to be like how your next life will be. So,
yeah, the idolatry of money and the worship of money is the same. Not the one, like not like the possession. No.
Yeah.
Because money can be used for a lot of good.
It can be used for a lot of good. And what happens when an entire world is focusing on money is it pretty much collapses. It becomes very weak and the community becomes weak. And it's almost like the way people interact changes so that it leaves a door open for something like a one world government to come in, take over one guy,
right,
to come in, take over the entire world. Alexander the Great style.
Yeah.
That's going to be the day.
And then, yeah, as far as the tribulation period will go, I mean, there's a lot of different theories, a lot of different ideas about how the rapture is going to happen, how Christians are going to be taken out, if the rapture is going to happen, you know. There's a lot of different verses that kind of gloss over it, but they're all different. They're all like, they don't contradict each other, but they don't agree with each other either.
They don't. And, you know, I think instead of focusing on getting the answer for if it's going to happen, when it's going to happen, you need to prepare yourself for the next life, no matter what, no matter how your exit takes place. And a lot of that is almost realizing that as a Christian, you're no better than the next guy.
Yeah.
You've done what they've done. You know, Jesus ate dinner with sinners, but you're no better than the next guy. You're not going to go to heaven based on deeds.
I think that's one of the biggest things that people like Christians nowadays struggle with, you know, humility. You have to really accept that you're not the best person ever, you know. That's a really hard thing. I feel like, in, especially America, I've found that people are really self-centered. They're really, you know, they're not as humble as, you know, other people.
Yeah, you have a job to do on this earth.
Yeah.
That's to spread the word. And the only innocent man on this world that ever lived, that ever walked the planet. I like to say innocent. I don't like to use the word perfect because I don't think it gives people the real idea, but innocent gives you a good idea of what he was like. He was and if you look at the way he lived, he was friends with everybody.
Yeah.
There's not one person that he wouldn't talk to. He would walk with the Pharisees, and they told him not to talk to the tax collector. Told him he's a bad guy. He went and talked to him. Yeah. Sometimes you can become out of touch. Right, Jake?
Yep.
It's not... I wanted to ask you specifically, like, in your lifetime, you've gone and you've seen a lot. Do you believe that the best way to really follow Jesus is to humble yourself into believing that you're no better than the next guy and is to look at everybody as equal?
Yeah, I feel like that's a really good way of, like, looking at it, like, seeing yourself as equal to others. But there is, like, a large area in that where it's difficult to humble yourself while others are looking, are, like, do the exact opposite and exalt themselves to such a high level that they look down on everyone else as if they're nothing. And it's difficult to see, to, like, try to, like, see those people as equal to you when you know, like, you're not that kind of person where you exalt yourself to such a high level. And it's difficult to, like, be, to, like, see them as equal to you when you know what that it's not, that's not exactly, that's not, like, true to some degree.
And that's the thing, is a lot of Christians that put themselves on a pedestal around them and they're in the actual church, that's going to push people to becoming lukewarm Christians, and it's going to push people to become even worse, and that's progressive Christians.
Yeah.
It's way more dangerous.
There's also, like, the idea is, you know, whatever society's doing, the majority of people are going to do, like, even in the Christian environment, like, at the church, if you go to a church that's all, you know, self-centered, the pastor thinks he's better than everyone else, stuff like that, that will reflect over to the congregation, people that are at that church. You know, if they see people that are, you know, supposedly Christians doing this, then they'll think that's what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it's like a virus that just infects so many different Christians and stuff.
You're right. It's a pretty bad virus, and that's to say that it's the church's responsibility to keep people from kind of going and turning to that, because if you're going, you need to radiate the real energy that Jesus wants you to give out. You need to do what he asks, because when you do what he asks, then nothing can go wrong. People are going to sometimes think that, you know, doing exactly what one man says is like a cult. No. Those values that he teaches you keep society strong. The Christians in the Bible and the Jewish people were able to conquer whatever they came across, and they were able to fight no matter the numbers against them. They were outnumbered at so many different battles, and they were able to fight because they were strict. And they're still around today. They're still fighting. And I hope we keep fighting as Christians. We need to change this world. I think I'm going to end that podcast here. Thank you guys so much for listening. This was a fun one to make. I like this one. This is probably my favorite one so far. This one is being recorded, and it's going to be released weeks after. Thank you guys so much for listening. Spread the word to your friends, family. If you don't have friends or family, stand on the corner of a street, hold up a sign like the crazy guys say the world's going to end. Say, listen to this podcast. And if you don't have legs, you can crawl out there. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you guys in the next episode.